Good morning. It's good to see the good number that we have with us this morning. We're thankful for your presence. We're thankful to be able to be present and to encourage one another. This morning I want to share some... Am I going to be able to talk this morning? That's interesting. I'd like to share some thoughts with you on the subject of leaven. Leaven is, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, an agent such as yeast that causes batter or dough to rise, especially by fermentation. The term leaven is mentioned some 24 times in the Bible, sometimes referring to a literal leavening agent, but often in a figurative sense to denote the pervasive influence that is either good or bad. Jesus used leaven in a negative sense when he warned his disciples about the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees and of the leaven of Herod. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6, Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." In Mark 8 and verse 15, a parallel account of this, it says, "He charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven and the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And then as you come back to Matthew 16 and verse 12, he explains the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees as being actually the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Which leads you to wonder a little bit what he means by the leaven of Herod. Herod, of course, was the appointed king by the Roman Empire of the area of Palestine. And, you know, you can be influenced by political leaders and the political trend of things. And Jesus said, be aware of that. Be aware that you don't get caught up in what is the popular norm and what's being represented by your political leadership. And stay true, of course, to the doctrine of Christ and what God would have us to do. That's a different subject. I just thought it was interesting. Sometimes people tell me, I don't think we should talk about things that are going on in politics and stuff. And well, when politics starts having an influence upon Christians and leads us in a direction different than what the Word of God teaches us, then it needs to be taught on. False doctrine needs to be addressed no matter who's presenting it or in what arena they are presenting it. When you speak against the Word of God, I'm going to speak up for the Word of God. First thing they want to do is silence people who speak God's truth. So in a very real sense, the doctrine or the leaven of Herod is very similar to the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Both were an evil influence. Likewise, of course, we must ever guard against the influence of false doctrine. In Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9, Paul wrote to the churches of the region of Galatia, and he said, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." And this is not the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is a different, quote unquote, different gospel that was a false doctrine. He says, which is not another. There's no such thing as another gospel. There's only one true gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now, Paul, you realize, isn't repeating himself here within the next sentence. He is saying he's warned them about this when he had been with them. And he taught them the pure gospel of Christ, and he warned them against those who might change it and teach those that were different. Well, in spite of his warning, they have listened to false doctrine. They have started to be influenced by the leaven of false doctrine. We must also guard against the carnal influence toward spiritual destruction. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 through 8, he says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." And as you first read that, and of course if you weren't familiar with biblical terminology, you would think, well, we all live in the flesh. But he's talking about really, are you carnally minded or are you spiritually minded? Are you feeding the desires of the carnal nature, or is it your desire to feed the desires of the spiritual nature? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. You cannot resist the law of God and be subject to the law of God. We must humble ourselves before God and completely perform His will. So then, those who are in the flesh, those who are carnally minded, and that's their desire to fulfill the whatever feels good and seems right to them, cannot please God. They will not humble themselves before God. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 7, very similar to this, says, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." The subject of leaven often centers around the Passover and how that they were to get all of the leavening out of their households and so forth. That was representative of course, the Passover lamb, how that that male lamb of a year old would not be influenced by anything that was impure. That was all a type of course, Christ. And so Paul is reminding the Corinthians here of the importance of basically keeping themselves pure. They had some impurity in the congregation. A man was acting sinfully. They were doing nothing about it. And he says that's going to have an influence upon all of the members. So when he's talking about purge out this old leaven, he's not just talking about a lifestyle. He's talking about actually an individual. This person needs to be reprimanded, needs to be corrected. If he won't be corrected, then he needs to be removed from your presence. Also, we look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. And it just simply says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." That's what was going to happen at Corinth if they didn't remove this sinner from them, or at least warn him and, of course, encourage him to repent, which we find in 2 Corinthians they did, and that was successful, and he was restored. And we're thankful for that. I want to focus for a few moments here on this 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 7, not necessarily in the context that it was presented in regards to an unruly member and how that he needed to be brought into submission to the will of God and of Christ and his influence be removed from them, but the general teaching here of how that a little leaven, in regardless to what area of influence in your life, a little bit will leaven the whole lump. You need to be careful what you allow in, what you allow to influence you. Because sin deceives us into thinking that we are greater than we are. You know, that we've said before so many times that the common denominator of all sin is self. Why do we sin? Sin because we want to. We don't sin because that'd be glorifying to God. We sin because we want to. And then when we sin, we find that we want to justify it and bolster ourselves in the practice of it. So sin deceives us into thinking that we are greater than we are. And this is what I mean by this, is that bitterness and hatred give us a false sense of power over others. You ever been bitter towards someone? Have you ever hated someone? And you've tried to justify your bitterness and your hatred, and in your justification of your bitterness, what you're actually doing is you are devaluing them and increasing your own value in your own sight. You're better than they are. That should not be the attitude of any child of God. We are all sinners and have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We, like everyone else, are in need of the grace and love and mercy of God. And we need to realize that everybody makes mistakes, including us. And be sympathetic. And yet also, as Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In like manner, hypocrisy and bigotry deceives us into thinking that we are more important than others. We accuse people of doing things when we ourselves are guilty of it, but somehow we're the exception to the rule. That's what hypocrisy really is. Hypocrisy is when you can see how the law of God applies to others, but somehow it doesn't apply to me because, and you just fill in whatever reason you might give as to why you think it doesn't apply to you, but that's hypocrisy. Of course the law of God applies to you and applies to me. It applies to all equally. If it doesn't, then there is no law. And we need to recognize that. The leaven of, I've said here, maturity, and I'll explain by that in a minute here, but the leaven of maturity deceives us into thinking that we have the right to view or listen to crude forms of entertainment. We engage in mature entertainment. We might drink mature beverages, watch mature movies. You see, by putting that word mature on there, you know, it seems like, well, I've arrived at an age to where I have the right to participate in these things. No. These things that we often call mature are actually sins and violations of the will of God. They are not in keeping with purity. In fact, they are impure. But we try to justify them by saying they're mature. We've been playing word games for a couple of decades here in the United States of America. And it's time that we unmask these word games for our own sakes so that we not allow them to influence us. Leaven causes bread to mold and decay from the inside out. What happens to bread if you just leave it alone? Well, it gets moldy. Yeah, why? Because of the leavening agent. Leavening keeps working, keeps right on working. And not just doesn't cause the yeast to grow, but or to increase the dough. But if you just let it keep working, it will continue to produce the mold and the decay. The leaven of sin will mold and decay and will make our soul worthless It works from the inside out. We see the outward display of what we've been influenced by, but that influence is actually within us. And it's affecting us in so many ways. You know, if one area of the doctrine of Christ, if we're the exception to the rule in one area, then why wouldn't we be the exception in all areas? And the fact of the matter is that we're not an exception to the rule in any area of purity and morality. We must let Christ be the gatekeeper of our heart. As we see here in the text, we must purge out the old leaven. Don't allow it to stay there. Purge it out. Don't entertain a love for the things that are carnal, that diminish our spiritual ability, that put a cover over our light for Christ. Purge out the old leaven. Be a new lump. Sometimes the Bible says, sincere lump. Be without cracks. The genuine article. We're not filling in the cracks. We want to remove the cracks. Be a new lump. Be truly unleavened, non-influenced by the things of the world. And as we notice here in the latter part of verse 7, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The reason that we are to purge out the old leaven and be a new lump is because we are to be like Him. We are to be imitators of Him. And so if we imitate Him, we need to imitate His purity, His free from influence from the world that we see in Him. That needs to be our goal as well. Again, the history of the Passover was that to prepare for the Passover, the family spends an entire week scouring the house for each and every crumb of yeast they can find. Exodus 12 and verse 19 says, for 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. Jesus, of course, our Passover, remained free from the world's influence for all of His life. We must have that same commitment that He had. The reason He could stay free from that influence of the world is because He was committed to be free from the influence of the world. He was committed to be true to His Heavenly Father. We need to be careful what books and what magazines we read, what movies and TV programs we watch, what music we listen to and the lyrics of that music. Do you allow a little bit of trash in your living room? I'm sure you don't keep your trash container in your living room, you know, that you accumulate all week and then eventually take out to the street to let the garbage truck come and get it. You don't keep that container in your living room, do you? Well, how much trash do you keep in your living room? How much trash do you allow? And you might look around and say, well, there's no trash in our living room. What's coming over your television set? What's being played over your entertainment system? Are we entertaining carnal thoughts, or are we keeping ourselves pure? Beware of the leaven of the world. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Don't put up with any of it. On the other hand, leaven is also used, the word leaven is also used in a good sense. We can be subjected to good influences. In Matthew 13 and verse 33, you'll remember that Jesus spoke a parable to them and said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till all was leavened. Kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the church of Christ, would start small, but it would quickly spread throughout the world. That's what Jesus was talking about here. Leaven does its work from within, we've said. And so also the influence of the gospel of Christ works within a person's heart. James 1 and verse 21 tells us to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, that evil influence, and receive with meekness the implanted word, the righteous influence, which is able to save your souls. Bring that into your heart. The ones that fell on the good ground, Jesus explained in the parable of the sower, the seed that fell upon the good ground are those hearts who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. What they were allowing into their heart changed. Instead of the influence of the world and this, that sounds good, that seems right, that feels good to me, it was hearing the truth of the gospel of Christ and the call of that message of salvation. That noble and good heart flushed out, purged out the old leaven and received with joy the gospel message, kept it. They didn't just hear it, they kept it. They bore fruit. They did what they heard. Leaven changes the ingredients, changes the nature of the ingredient. It's still the same ingredients, but when you introduce a leavening agent, it changes it. It's not going to be flat bread or flat brownies or flat cake. It's going to be moist and big and fluffy and airy, which most of us prefer. Maybe you prefer the other. That's okay. But it changes the nature of it. But one who accepts the gospel, when one accepts the gospel, they become a new man, having new thoughts and doing new deeds. Romans 6 and verse 4 says, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not that we should continue in the old life of sin, but we should walk in newness of life. Having heard the gospel of Christ, being baptized, being born again for the remission of our sins, have those sins taken away. Why? So that we can continue in the sins? No. That we should walk in newness of life. Colossians 3 in the first four verses says, if you were raised with Christ, raised from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life with Christ, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you, the desire to practice the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and do whatever seems right to you, you died. And your life is hidden. Your life of sin is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Seek those things which are above. Don't set your mind on the things that are here on this earth. Leaven is aggressive. It doesn't take long for it to start working. And it doesn't stop until it's affected the whole. That's true either on the evil side or on the good side. Here we're looking at the good side and how that we need to realize that as Christ leavening agent of taking the seed of his word into a lost and dying world, we need to continue to work and let his message be heard and be seen in our lives. The kingdom of God is spread by the pervasive influence of those who are Christ, bringing others to him. John chapter 1 and verses 40 through 45, always been an interesting verse to me. For it says, one of those who heard John the Baptist speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he, Andrew, found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which being translated is a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in his law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Andrew finds Simon, that we come to know as Peter. Philip finds Nathanael. Come, we have found him. And I've always been impressed with the fact that it seems like this is the way that the gospel is spread. Not necessarily to large groups like you have on the day of Pentecost, but usually one-to-one, person-to-person, inviting a person to come and hear and come and see. Good examples for us to take note of and to follow. In Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus said to his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let this leavening agent of the gospel be heard by everyone. Colossians 1 and verse 23, it says, the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. As Paul was writing to the Colossians, he's saying, even at this point in time, this mission of taking the gospel to every person is being accomplished. Romans 10 and verse 18, I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth and their words to the end of the world. That's from Psalm 19. That's what was foretold. That's what was being accomplished. And we dare not look at a point in history such as this and say, well, they accomplished that. They taught it to everyone. Good for them and their generation. But there's a whole group of different people on the face of the earth today who have yet to hear the gospel. People in your sphere of influence, in your sphere of leavening, that need to hear the gospel of Christ. They see it every day in the life that you live, but they need to hear it. They need to hear what they need to do to be saved. And if they don't hear it from you, who will they hear it from? You have the words of life. Share it with them. Allow it to influence them for good. Again, we come back to 1 Corinthians 5 and verses 6 through 7. We're reminded how that we are to purge out the old leaven, to be a new lump, that we are to be like Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. But that week-long festival of Passover began with a celebration of their freedom from slavery. It wasn't the removal of leaven from their homes that made them free. God had made them free. God had provided for their freedom, for their salvation. He was setting them free. The next day, they would leave Egypt on that long Exodus journey. It wasn't the being free of leavening agents in their house that made them free. God made them free. But as they became free, they were to maintain their freedom. The realization of their freedom motivated them to maintain their freedom. If we don't maintain our freedom, we will lose it. That's true as a nation. That's true as the people of God. Do not be influenced by false doctrine. Do not be influenced by impure politics. Romans 6 and verses 2 through 6 says, "How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" Why did Jesus die? Jesus died to take our sins away. Why were you baptized? You were baptized for the remission of sins, to have your sins taken away. You were baptized into having your sins taken away. Why? That you should continue to sin? No. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ should be raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not that old life of sin. Verse 5 goes on to say, "If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly also we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Knowing this, that our old man, that old man of sin, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We consider ourselves bondservants of righteousness, bondservants to Christ, honoring him and glorifying him in all that we say and do. Beware. Beware of the influence of false doctrine. Beware of the influence of societal peer pressure. Beware. And do not give in. Most importantly, beware of the influence of the gospel of Christ and the word of life. And be always influenced by it. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ and you're tired of living in sin and living for yourself, you're ready to let Christ influence you so that you can influence others as well to walk in a pathway of righteousness. You're ready to honor him and glorify him. We're ready to baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you've made that decision to turn from your sin, to walk in his righteousness, you're ready to confess him as the Son of God, be baptized this very day and walk in newness of life with him. If you're here today and you're out of favor with God as a child of God, you need to make things right with him. Just as we talked about that man in 1 Corinthians, he was out of favor with God, but he saw the error of his ways and returned to God. James tells us to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another. Be effectual, for the prayer of a righteous man avails much. You're subject to the invitation today, and either way, we would encourage you to come as we stand and sing. The song's been selected.